We are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
Jeremy, I'm the executive pastor. I get to come down here every now and again and hang out with you guys. I'm mostly at the Millsboro location. I tell this every time I come down, but it always catches me by surprise, and you'd think I'd get used to it, but there is something special about Rehoboth Beach. There's something special about this church in the basement. I don't know if it's the smell of the subs up above us or what it is, but there's something unique here, and I hope you guys don't take that for granted. Know that you're part of something special. And man, it's always a blessing for me when I get to come down and hang out with you guys. Well, welcome again. I want to welcome all of our people listening online, Facebook Live, everybody listening through the podcast this morning. Welcome. And to all you in the basement, can you do me a favor? Pastor Joel is away, but I'd love for us all to say hey to Pastor Joel, if that's okay. So on the count of three, we're going to say, hey, Pastor Joel. Can you guys do that with me real loud? Yeah. Count of three. You ready? Hey, Pastor Joel. One, two, three.
Hey, Pastor Joel!
Awesome. Brownie points for me. Thank you. So we've been in this series at the movies. How many of you have enjoyed this series, right? How fun has this been? I love this. And so when Pastor Joel asked me if I would speak one of these weeks, I was pretty excited. I've been able to be part of an at the movie series before. They're always fun. And then he said, I think the movie that I want you to focus on is the Avengers. And I got pretty pumped. Now, I'm sporting my Avengers shirt. Technically here, right? Spider-Man is technically part of the group. But this shirt is not from the Avengers series. Any diehard fans that know that this is actually from an earlier Spider-Man movie thing. We got some Marvel gear. Anybody else sporting Marvel Avenger gear? Nobody? Just the two of us? I see a Superman, which, by the way, I think it's important to note here, we are talking about Marvel Avengers. Now, my family, we love our superhero movies, right? And essentially my kids have all grown up watching these movies. It is part of their childhood and part of our family life. And my kids can get very passionate about the superheroes. And so we need to be very clear. This is the Avengers. It's Marvel. It is not DC, which is a very different, okay? I learned very quickly that you don't, you know, throw the name Aquaman in the same conversation as Iron Man, right? Those two don't go together. One's DC, one's Marvel. I learned very quickly, don't mix up the difference between the Green Arrow and Hawkeye. Yes, they both have bows and arrows. Yes, they both wear green, but they are very different. One is DC, one is Marvel. We are talking about Marvel Avengers today. Now, when I was preparing for this message, I wanted to ask my kids, you know, I got to thinking, right, like, is there an Avenger? Is there one Avenger that I most identify with? Like, if I was on the Avengers team, like, which one would I be? And so I got to thinking, like, I think Captain America. I mean, yeah, it's so, and here's why, like, the guy's patriotic, right? He's got all these qualities. He's like, he's the underdog who started out as the underdog. and then he became this like invincible superhero, right? He's patriotic. He's got this good heart. He's the guy who will never stop until he hits and meets the goal, right? He's going to win the challenge every time. He's never going to stop, right? He's kind and loving and right. So Captain America, and then, you know, I'm looking like we're built kind of the same. And, you know, he's super good looking guy, I think, right? Captain America. So I thought, you know, the guy most that I'm like is probably Captain America. So, but I thought maybe a better way to approach this is to ask people in my life who are normally brutally honest with me, and that is my family. So I sent out a group text earlier this week, and I want to share that with all of you right now if we can. Now, I don't know if you can read this or not, but I sent them this text, and so here is the question I asked him. I said, what Avenger do you think I most identify with or I am most like? And so Aubrey, who is my 21-year-old, she's the oldest daughter, 21 years old, she said Iron Man and then Hulk. And of course, I said pick one. You can't pick two. And then Caitlin, my 16-year-old daughter, of course, in the way 16-year-olds do, asked, what type of question is this? And of course, there's emojis, which I don't really understand. So... And my answer is research. My wife said, Black Widow for sure. So my response was, seriously, I need a response from everybody. Again, my 16-year-old, I don't know. And then Chase, my 18-year-old son, now listen to this, he said Hawkeye. He's quiet but smart and learns as much as possible. He's good at everything. He's a family man and makes calculated decisions. He's not the leader, but more a right-hand man and steps up and leads when he needs to. I gave that a thumbs up. Is that all right? Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. And then, of course, I want to know who's next. Somebody asked Gavin. Gavin's my 14-year-old. You're 14, right? 14. Not quite 15. He's the fourth. He doesn't have a phone, so he wasn't involved, so... then Aubrey, my oldest again, she's a psychology major, and of course she sends me a personality test that I can take to figure out what Avenger I am. But of course I already knew I was Captain America, so I didn't need to take it. But then she concludes that I'm a mix of Hawkeye and the Hawk, which confused me. And I simply asked, why? Because I'm green? And she said, no, the Hawk doesn't like help. And he doesn't like being taken advantage of, which is true of me. Now, again, my 16-year-old's response to that is, I think the Hulk, because you like to snap out of nowhere. And my response, justified, is you should ask yourself what causes these snaps. And then more emojis I don't understand. Aubrey, my oldest daughter, again, says, also, he wings it, which didn't make sense to me. I was like, barbecue eats everything? What? I don't get it. And she responds with, no, like, just does things. And so I was like, oh, so he's not a planner. And anyway, and then my wife, again, at the end, there comes back with the Hawkeye for sure. Now, I thought I was Captain America. Obviously, those closest to me believe that I am most like Hawkeye with a little Hulk tendency mixed in there, which I'm not sure if I'm proud of or not. But, you know, I saw a study also in doing research that people were asked if they could have any superpower ever. Like, if you were able to have one superpower, what would it be? And they came back with four of the top results. And number one, the most the superpower that most people would want is time travel. Anybody? Time travel? Would that be your go-to? I like that idea. I mean, time travel makes sense to me. You go back, correct some mistakes that you've made and do things over, make it better. I get that. I could do that. You go back and save some people from some terrible things. But number two is read minds. And I gotta wonder, like, this has to be one that women thought. Like, this is the one that all the women responded to, right? Because I'm guessing they want to know, like, what their man is thinking all the time. This doesn't seem like an answer that guys would give, right? But what's funny about that is, like, you know, if women actually had this superpower Do you think they'd be disappointed when they actually find out that men really don't think anything? Right? Like, would it upset them even more to know that we mean when we say we're not thinking about anything? And so if that's the case, they might end up wanting number three, which is the ability to fly, which would be fun. And then number four, the fourth most requested or whatever power, is invisibility, which honestly is a little creepy, right? Like, why do you want to be invisible? So I think that's a little creepy. So the beauty of the Avengers here, the beauty of the story is, right, you've got all these people with all these gifts, with all these superpowers, and all these miraculous things that they can do, and they come together, right? And we love the stories of all the characters. But the real story of the Avengers, the thing, the real kind of heart of the story is not so much the individuals, but it's about them coming together. It's about, can they work together? Can they get past their differences? Can they get along and work together to save the world from some pretty serious things? And I believe it's about this superpower, if we can call it that, of learning to love one another. And so that's what I kind of want to talk to you about today. And we're going to use the Avengers movie to kind of get there, right? Like the superpower of learning to love one another and to look at what the Bible has to say about how we can do that, how we can come together and work together in our families, with our coworkers, and in our communities. But here's the deal. I want to throw a statement out there that kind of will set the tone for us as we move forward. And it's this. And we're going to put it up on the screen. But I believe that our ability to love others will determine how far we go in life and how much we will enjoy it when we get there. Our ability to love others will determine how far we go in life and how much we'll enjoy it when we get there. How peaceful and successful our family life is, how peaceful and successful our work life is, and our all of our relationships. It's our ability to love others that is so crucial and important, but can it be challenging also? Man, it can be so tough to love other people sometimes. Can I get an amen from anybody? Anybody there? You know, there's so many times in our life that some of the times when we're challenged the most to love people can often be the people that are closest to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like oftentimes it's those people who are closest to us that can often drive us crazy, right? Those that are closest to us can often be the most challenging to love in moments like that. And, maybe you have some people in your life now that are tough to love. Maybe those are family members or coworkers or friends, or maybe it's that person sitting right next to you today, but you know, don't look, stay cool. Don't give them the eye this morning. But it's true, right? Sometimes it's those that are closest to us that can be the toughest to love. I want to look at a passage this morning in Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read this together. The Apostle Paul gives us some great insight, some great information on how we can develop this superpower of growing in love towards one another. And here's the thing, guys, right? Like, it would be amazing if we had a superpower like an Avenger, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be awesome if we all had some sort of superpower? But one of the greatest resources that we already have available in our lives is the power of a team, of working together in unity, and you know, the resource of a team. It's available to us now, and I believe the key to unlocking that and to utilizing that is for us to grow in love one for another. So let's read the passage together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this: "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must first clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And the first thing I want you to see here as we read this passage is literally the first thing that he says, that since God chose you. You see, God chose each one of us. If you are a person of faith this morning, you have at some point made a decision to follow Jesus. And though you made that decision yourself, the Bible talks that God knew you, that He loved you at even at the foundations of the earth. He knew you and loved you. And God chose you. If you're not a person of faith, maybe you've never made that decision, you need to know that nothing happens by accident, that you're here this morning for a reason, that God has chosen you, that He loves you. And so for us this morning, we need to begin here with this passage that He chose us. And if we want to be able to respond to others in love, if we want to be able to respond to the people around us, and if we want to be able to grow in our ability to love other people, then the first thing we need to do is we need to receive and accept God's love in our life. That's step one. Receive God's love. Receive God's love. We have to receive God's love before we can be in a position to even respond in love to others. Without God's love, we're just left with the pressure of trying to accomplish being patient and merciful and kind. And so number one, if you're taking notes today, you need to know, first step to grow in this superpower of loving others is you need to first accept and receive God's love. Let's continue reading though, or look at that verse again, because there's a lot there. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, Paul goes on here to tell us that if we're going to love other people, then we need to put these things on. We need to clothe ourselves in these things. And if we can use the superhero Avengers theme, we need to put on our super suit, right? We need to put on our super suit. This idea of tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Now, fashion is constantly changing, right? Every season there seems to be a new fashion and different things. But just in case you don't think that's necessarily the case, I found this this actual men's ad from the 1970s. Look at this. Come on. I literally have blankets in my house that look like this. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, people actually wore these clothes in the 70s. Can you imagine that? I bet some of you in this room have burnt pictures of you in getup like this. So fashion is changing. Again, if you don't believe me, let's take a trip back to 1997 when I graduated high school. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Come on now. Listen, anybody remember the plaid polos, right? Abercrombie & Fitch or whatever was cool back then, right? Like, and what you don't notice is that these jeans here are like parachute jeans, right? They're so big. You remember when it used to be cool to wear everything like 20 sizes too big? That was my high school. Look at that shirt. That's like a tent. That's like you could pitch a tent with that shirt. It's so big. There's nothing underneath there. It was just, anyway. And what you can't tell, do you remember the corduroys that had the really thick bands? Anybody remember those? Remember when those used to be cool? Come on. And again, like 20 sizes too big and big, thick cords. And I got one more I want to show you just to show you how bad it was. Look at that guy. Come on. What was I thinking, right? Here's the funny part about this picture is like, that's not my jacket. I don't even know why I have that jacket on. I never owned a jacket like that. And somehow I ended up taking this weird picture with that jacket on there. So, all right, you guys need to take that down before I embarrass myself more. But here's the deal. Fashion changes all the time. But what Paul wants us to get here is that the fashion of God, God's fashion, is never going to go out of style. God's fashion is timeless. And when Paul tells us that we need to clothe ourselves in these things, the fashion of God, he says, is filled with mercy. Mercy is the ability to have compassion towards other people in their situation. God's fashion is filled with kindness. Kindness is the ability to move towards people in a way that is for them and celebrates them. It's filled with humility. Now, humility is, listen to this, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but humility is thinking about ourselves less. Do you get that? Humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but it's about thinking of ourselves less. And so we're focused on other people and their needs in our life, and we're able to serve them. God's fashion is filled with patience. Each day we are faced with the opportunity. We can leave our house. We can walk out our door, and whatever the fashion of the day is, right? Whatever the cool clothes are of that day, or as my kids would probably tell me, the uncool clothes, right, of the day. We can walk out. We can decide to wear whatever the fashion is of the day. But do we take time to clothe ourselves, to put on the super suit, right? To clothe ourselves in kindness, in patience, in humility? When we go out, I believe if we'll do this each morning, right, if we'll consider these things, if we'll be intentional about doing this, that when we go out, we'll be more attractive to the people we come in contact with. You know, if you're single here this morning and you are intentional about putting on the super suit, you're going to look far more dateable. You're going to look far more dateable because of these qualities. If you're married and you focus on these things and clothing yourselves in these things, then your marriage is going to become more healthy, healthier than it's ever been. In your workplace, if you clothe yourself in these things, then you're going to get along better with your coworkers. Your customers are going to appreciate you more. And not that all of a sudden everything is perfect, or that our lives are perfect. But if we'll begin to clothe ourselves in humility and in patience and in kindness and in tenderheartedness in all of our relationships, then we're going to go further. We're going to accomplish and have greater impact in our life. And we may actually enjoy ourselves when we get there. The challenge for most of us, I think, is that life can be challenging. You know, for most of us, you know, getting up and getting out the door in the morning and getting going in the day is a hard thing. So many things to do. I can remember when my kids were younger, and every time we went somewhere, it was like we were moving, right? We had to carry like all these bags and clothes and diapers and strollers and on and on and on and car seats. And it felt like just getting started and going in the day was a challenge in itself. And so it can be a struggle. And even as my kids have gotten older, there are days where it can be hard. There's so many things that we have to deal with in our minds, in our hearts, and everything that's going on. And if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, then we can forget to clothe ourselves, to put on our super suit of kindness, patience, humility, all these things, and we'll rush out into the day, and it'll affect how we interact with others and our ability to love others. So we need to put on our super suit. Because again, how we love others will determine how far we go and if we like ourselves when we get there. So number one, we said you need to receive God's love. Number two, you need to put on your super suit. Number three, if you're taking notes today, we need to make allowances for heroes, jokers, and villains. Heroes, jokers, and villains. And we'll explain that in a minute here. Let's continue reading in this passage from Paul in Colossians here. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, this can feel like a very heavy verse, but again, here we see the Bible putting so much importance on forgiveness. I believe Pastor Joel just spoke about this a couple weeks ago, that unforgiveness in our heart and in our lives is literally one of the ways that Satan can get a foothold in our life. I believe that unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts is one of the primary doors that the enemy can use to get in and to mess things up and to wreck our lives. And so the Bible over and over talks about the importance of forgiveness. We all go through hurt. We all go through challenges. You live long enough, you're going to feel betrayed by somebody. You live long enough, you're going to feel like there's a person who's lied to you or stabbed you in the back. And, you know, we all, unfortunately, have to go through these things. But the difference, I believe, the difference between somebody who goes further than another person, the difference of someone who enjoys themselves a lot more than somebody else maybe enjoys themselves, the difference between someone who is filled with the joy and love and peace of God and has that more in their life than somebody else simply comes down to how they responded to hurt and to lies and betrayal that has come into their life. Are you with me? It's how we respond. It's how we make allowance, as Paul is saying. How we deal with this thing. And the Bible is clear. It puts all this importance on us forgiving others. And over and over and over, the Bible tells us that it's worth the struggle to do it. It's worth the challenge of making allowances for other people. Because unforgiveness and bitterness can take us to places that we never want it to go. You know, I've heard Pastor Joel say this statement in the past as well, that unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and expecting the enemy to die. Unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and expecting your enemy to die. I do think, as we look at this, right, this verse of making allowances and forgiving everybody, I think we need to be cautious there, because what I don't think the Bible is telling us here is that we're to be doormats, right? That is not what the Bible is saying here. When we say make allowances, we are not saying that we need to let people do whatever they want to us, right? Forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to trust, right? Forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to restore that relationship necessarily. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there isn't consequences, okay? We make allowances for people. We forgive people, but you can still have boundaries in your life for those people. This is what I mean when we say that we need to make allowances for the heroes, the jokers, and the villains. Dr. Henry Cloud, you may have heard of him. He is a well-respected Christian psychologist. And he, where this idea kind of comes from, talks about this. He uses a few different terms, but it's the same thing, right? Where he says there's three groups of people that we need to make allowances for. The wise, the foolish, and the evil. And how we deal with each one looks differently. How we make allowances for each group looks different. So the first group, the wise, or what we're calling the heroes, right? These are the people who maybe offend us or maybe hurt us in our lives. And what they do is they own their own decisions, right? They own the responsibility and the hurt that they cause. And when we go to them and we talk to them and we have our conversation, they can own that. We can own our part. We can forgive each other. We can move on in our relationship, right? Because they can see where they were at fault, and they can help correct that in their lives. And so boundaries in many cases aren't as necessary with the wise or with the heroes. But then the second group, right, what Dr. Cloud calls the foolish, or we're calling the jokers, right, not jokers in the Batman term, right, the insane, crazy, maniacal guy, but jokers in as in somebody who can't take responsibility for their actions. Anybody know somebody like that, right? Like, it's always somebody else's fault, right? Why they act that way. They're people who promise things over and over and over, but never follow through on their promises. They're people who tell you one thing and then do something else. They always seem to be in this cycle. And I think we all know people like that in our lives. And the beauty of Dr. Cloud's insight here is that he says the way we make allowances for these people, we forgive them. When they hurt us, we forgive them. But what we also do is we begin to create boundaries in our life. And so that as these jokers continue to make these decisions and these dumb decisions in their life, that hopefully they'll run up against some consequences in their life and maybe hopefully eventually change. But that means we have to have boundaries in our life. You know, think of it this way. Like, we have our kids, right? We have teenagers and they have cell phones, and we're constantly telling them, right, like put your phone away, like get off your phone, like it's dinner time, put the phone down, put the phone away, please turn the phone off, it's late at night, put the phone away, get off the phone, right? And so eventually, if they continue to abuse and to not use their phone properly or go outside of the boundaries that were created, we need to create stronger boundaries, right? We need to maybe take the phone away for a little bit, right? Or do something that creates consequences. And so in the same way, people can continually be in a cycle, right, of hurt and of lying or whatever. And so we need to create boundaries. We forgive, but we create boundaries. And so the third group, which Dr. Cloud talks about, he calls evil, and we'll call the villains. And the reality is that there are some people that we'll come in contact with that simply are out to be destructive, that they seek to destroy you and everyone around you. And that's just a reality of our world. And what we need to do in that moment, we need to forgive, right? Because forgiveness is more about you. It's about you giving up any right that you feel you have for vengeance or revenge, right? It's about you releasing that. But when you come into contact with a villain in your life who just wants to destroy you, forgive, and then you separate yourself from them in every way, emotionally, physically, legally. Okay, you protect yourself and your family. And that's just an unfortunate reality of the world we live in, that sometimes there are those people. And so when we read this verse, and it talks about allowances for all people, he's not talking about being a doormat. You're not just supposed to blindly forgive everybody for everything that they do with no consequences, with no boundaries. We forgive, and then we base our allowances on these three types of people: the heroes, the jokers, and the villains. So number one, we said, receive God's love. Number two, you put on your super suit. Number three, make allowances for heroes, jokers, and villains. And then the fourth and final point this morning is simply to love one another. We already talked about this earlier, right? Like, loving one another can be challenging because we're all different people. Just think about a marriage and how different you can be in a marriage. You know, I was thinking about this earlier. Like, here is something that I just did. Like, my son got me this gift, and it's this cool thing. It's a phone protector, but it's also a wallet. Like, I used to have a phone and a wallet. Now I'm pumped because my phone and my wallet is one thing. And to me, that's amazing, and I love that. And so the difference between me and my wife here, hold up your purse for everybody here, Miss Reagan. Stand up. Come on. Everybody give it up for my beautiful wife. Look at that thing she carries around. Now, consider the differences here, where I've got this little wallet and phone that is everything I need in my day. And here, she has this big purse, which we could literally survive for like 2 weeks in a jungle for what she has in that purse, which I'm not upset about. Listen, when I need a mint, guess where I go? When I need aspirin, guess where I go? She's got it all. And so... The differences between men and women here are obvious. Any ladies, big purses? Come on. Yeah, got to have it. Guys, are you tracking with me? Keep it simple. Come on. Think about a closet. You go to a house in a closet. Women can walk in to this big spare bedroom that they've converted into their closet, right? And what do? They'll walk in there, and then they'll walk out, and they'll say what? I've got nothing to wear. Guys, we go to our closet, right? And all we care about, is it clean? And even then, right, gentlemen, like you pick it up, you do what? Smell test. I think it'll work. And so the differences between us are clear. And the reality is you take any two people on earth, and you're going to have differences. You put them together, there's going to be differences. There's going to be challenges in that relationship. There's going to be tension that might have to be navigated. And there's this potential for conflict. And so I want to read this passage as we move on here in this, where Paul's talking. So Colossians 3, verse 14. And see what he says here. He says, Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. Above all, clothe yourself in love. Now, this word clothe here, clothe, is a little different than the first word clothe that we read. And this has a little different interpretation where it's kind of like a clasp. Right, the picture that he's trying to paint here is the idea of a cloak that's put on over top of all of our other clothing, and then it's clasped in love. And so, literally, Paul is wanting us to understand that love is kind of the thing that wraps around everything we've talked about: kindness, humility, patience, all those things. And love is the thing that kind of holds everything together. And when he says to clothe us, he wants us to bind that all up and clasp it. Love is the clasp. It binds everything together in our lives and in our hearts. And it reminds us of what is important. And then if we continue reading here, Colossians 3:15, the second part of it says, "For as members of one body." And that's so important. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Here's the thing today. We talk about the Avengers and these superheroes coming together for a purpose to save the earth. You know, Paul knows that together we are one body. We are a team. And we're all different. We all have different gifts and uniqueness and things that we bring. But I believe that the church is called to be the salvation of the world. That through the church, Jesus wants to accomplish saving the world. And so all of us together are part of that team. And if we can learn to love one another, to grow in our love one for another, then we can share that love with a world that so desperately needs it. God has called each one of us. He's chosen each one of us. He loves each and every one of us. It's our job to work together to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. Would you stand with me this morning as we close? I want to give everybody an opportunity this morning. So if you just do me a favor this morning, everybody together, just bow our heads and close our eyes. And we spoke at the beginning that God has chosen each one of us. From the beginning, the foundations of the earth, it says that he knew you, that he loved you. And so I don't know where some of you are at. You know, I'm sure in some ways every day is like a ground zero for us, for somebody in this room. That we all have challenges and relationship challenges and things in our life that we're struggling with. And I believe that God has you here today because he wants you to know that he loves you. That God brought you here so that he could tell you that he has chosen you. And so maybe you're struggling in relationships, and maybe you don't know how in the world you could ever grow in love or have relationships or end up in a place where where you're enjoying the relationships in your life, and God wants you to know the first place, the thing that you need to start with, is you need to receive His love. You need to receive His love. And so if that's you today, if God's working on your heart, if you know that, if you don't know anything else other than you just know you want more peace in your life, more mercy in your life, more humility in your life, then God's calling you today. And I just want you to reach out your hand today and lift it up and just acknowledge that I need to receive God's love. If that's you, just show me your hands this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And so this morning, I would love if all of us could pray together. No one pray alone, but just repeat after me. And this prayer is not like some magic prayer, but this is just an acknowledgement of a starting point of moving towards God, an acknowledgement that what Jesus did for you. And so let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. God, that you love me, that you chose me, that you brought me here to hear that. God, I need you in my life, in my relationships, in my family, in all that I do. So today, I receive your love. I decide today to follow, to walk after you. Come into my life. Lead me. Guide me. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer this morning, Emma's going to come up here in just a moment and give some next steps to you. We are all called. We all have a place on the team. And so thank you for letting me be here today and to share that with you. I pray that you guys have an amazing, amazing.